إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself to have the taqwa, the consciousness, the piety, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. For Allah says in the Quran, يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. Allah Most High and Gracious, He says, O mankind, fear the earthquake of a great day, for indeed it is a great event. Indeed, the earthquake, the shaking of the hour, is a great event. So I remind you and myself to have the taqwa, the consciousness, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, mankind, human beings have been created for a high destiny, a high purpose, which is to establish the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has an honored sight in Allah, in Allah's vision. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What a noble destiny. Allah says, I have created all of mankind and jinn only to worship me. So the believer, he does not become intoxicated or noxious by his desires. He does not become overwhelmed by his desires. Rather, he submits himself to the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, to the command of Allah and His Messenger. He purifies his soul by abstaining from sin. He purifies himself by staying away from that which displeases Allah Azza wa Jal. And this purification of the soul will cause a person to enter the paradise, will cause a person to be worthy of having the forgiveness of Allah on the Day of Judgment. The believer, he does not follow his whims and desires like the animals, the beasts. Imam al-Ghazali, he said, a believer, he, through obedience to Allah, he reaches the ranks of the angels. And through disobedience, through following his shahwa and desires, he debases himself to the rank of the beasts and the animals. So my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, what we must do is guard ourselves, guard all of our senses from what is disobedient to Allah, to guard our hands and our eyes from disobeying Allah, for surely they will bear witness for us or against us on the Day of Judgment. Allah Most High, He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men, restrain your glances, look away from the haram. Why, O Allah, why do you command us to lower our gazes? ذَٰلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is purer for their souls. That is purifying for them. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And guard, lower their gazes and guard their private parts. That is purer for their souls. ذَٰلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He addresses the women believers and He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. He reminds the believing women, an extra emphasis for the women as well, to lower their glances and to guard their private parts. That is purer for them. That will lead to purity. That will lead to purity of one's soul. And Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrates that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, guard your private parts, guard them, except from your spouses. We live in a society where there is gross openness and uncovering of the awrat. But a believer, he guards his privacy. She guards her privacy from all except what, from their spouse, from the one whom Allah has made permissible relations. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, do not, he narrated that the Prophet ﷺ commanded that a man should not undress even in front of another man, nor should a woman undress in front of another woman, to guard one's chastity, to guard the privacy. This is purity for a believer, for a believing man and a believing woman. And in fact, in order to achieve this noble destiny of obeying Allah, one must struggle against his desires or her desires. Mujahadatun nafs, the nafs al-ammara bis-su. All of us, we have a nafs that commands us to evil. But the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us the guidance on how to struggle against this nafs. He said, regarding the two most dangerous limbs of the body, whoever preserves what is between his two jaws and what is between his two legs, I guarantee for him the paradise. These two limbs, the tongue from saying haram, from speaking ill or backbiting or lying, and the private parts, what is between the two legs, it leads the most people to the hellfire. These are the command of the Messenger of Allah, to guard these limbs, to struggle against the nafs, in order to achieve that high destiny for which Allah has created us. And Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he once asked the Messenger of Allah, tell me something, what is it that brings the most people to paradise? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, it is good character and taqwa of Allah. Taqwa of Allah means fearing Allah and restraining one's desires. So he said, good character and taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Abu Huraira, he said, tell me what leads the most people to the fire. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the mouth and the private organ. The mouth and the private parts. So you see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in order to purify ourselves, we must struggle against the desires of the private parts and speaking ill and evil. And also, the Prophet ﷺ, he warned us against other acts of indecency. Even he said that Allah Azza wa Jal, he curses those people who do the actions of the people of Lut. The people of Lut. Again, we see in society that the doors have been opened for all types of indecency, where zina has become widespread and images of women are spread in the news, in the media, on internet, where Islam has raised the status of women. It has honored the status of women, so they are not used and exploited for material gain. We see how the society has opened the doors for shahwa, has opened the doors of this nafs al-ammara bis-su. But the Messenger of Allah, he's commanding us, he's giving us advice on how to purify ourselves. In fact, those who commit the act of zina, they will not be purified by Allah on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, there are three people whom Allah will not speak to on the Day of Judgment, nor will He look at them, and nor will He purify them. One of those people, he said, a grown man, a sheikh, a zan, a grown man who commits zina, a man who is above the age of the passions and the strength of desires, yet he still committed zina. Allah will not purify him on the Day of Judgment. Allah will not look at him nor say words of forgiveness. And in fact, Imam Ahmad, he said, I do not know any sin or any crime greater than murder than zina. He considered zina greater than murder. because of the ill that it has in society. It makes people subservient to their selves, to their nafs. They chase after their vain desires, and it destroys the family and the lineage that Islam has come to protect. And my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the mother of the believers, Aisha, she once narrates that she saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the sun had eclipsed, he stood long in prayer. He had a long eclipse prayer. And then after that, he stood up to give a sermon to the believers. And he said, "O Muslims, O Ummah of Muhammad, there is no one that has more ghira, more jealousy and ardency over his servant than Allah when he commits zina. Allah is jealous. He has ghira when the servant of Allah, he commits the zina. He is angered by that." And he also said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that no one has more ghira than when the female servant of Allah commits zina than Allah. Allah has ghira. Allah protects. Allah has jealousy over the decency of his servants. And then the Messenger of Allah, he said, "If you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and cry much. Have I not conveyed the message?" This was one of the most important warnings he gave to the Ummah, to guard themselves from indecency, to guard themselves from uncovering of the awrat and zina. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, fear Allah and fear His punishment and His wrath. This is an important matter in our religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent His Messenger to guide us to the ways, to cut off from this indecency, to stay away. He closed the pathways to what would lead to zina. He cut off the paths that would lead to zina. And this is why we find in Islam that it is forbidden for men to freely intermingle with women. And it's forbidden for women to freely intermingle with men, because this would lead to fitna and temptation. This would lead to away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "I have not left a fitna more dangerous for men than the fitna of women." And what he meant by this was not the righteous woman who wears her hijab, the noble woman, but what he meant was the temptation, the temptations of all those, the women who uncover their awrat. This is a danger for the iman of a believer. This is a risk for the iman of a believer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, he said, "Be warned upon entering upon gatherings of women." Be warned about that. And one of the Sahaba, he said, "What about a brother-in-law? The brother-in-law often is in the house. Can he enter upon the wife of his brother and others?" The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "The brother-in-law, al-hamu, he is maut, it's death. It's very dangerous. Even in within a house, somebody might say, this, my brother, he's like a brother to my wife." But this is not correct. How many acts, how many illicit acts have taken place within the home because we did not follow the advice of the Messenger of Allah? And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that no man is secluded with a woman except who is the third? The shaitan. The shaitan is the third. So in order to close the doorways that lead to evil, the Messenger of Allah, he warned us about this. He warned us about seclusion and being alone with the opposite gender. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the woman is awra. Awra, she is private, she is to be protected. We see today how women are used on billboards to sell products. The woman is used, her body is uncovered. Where is her honor and dignity? Where is she treated? She's treated like an object, a material object used for profit. But Islam said a woman is awra. When you guard a thing, when you love a thing, when you want to protect a thing, you do not expose it to all of society. So the woman is guarded in Islam. her status is honored. She's a teacher, she's a mother, she's the center of the home. And this is what Islam, it teaches us. Also, another wisdom that this Islam teaches is that a woman should not leave the home perfumed, wearing perfume, so that it attracts men to look at her and think about her private, her beauty and her hidden ornaments. Once Abu Huraira, he was walking on a street and he saw a woman who was wearing perfume. And he said to her, "O servant of the most powerful one, where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to the masjid." And Abu Huraira, he said, "Even though you're wearing all this perfume?" She said, "Yes." So Abu Huraira, he said, that the Messenger of Allah said that a woman who enters the masjid to pray wearing perfume, her salah will not be accepted until she washes that perfume away. Again, we see protecting the houses of Allah from fitna, so that the hearts can be attached to the Rahman. When we come to the house of Allah, our hearts are with Allah Azza wa Jal and not with the desires of this world. And also, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Aisha, the mother of the believers, the great judge, the teacher of the Sahaba, would come to her for fatwa. She once said that if the Messenger of Allah saw the new things that the women were doing, he would have told them to not come to the masjid. Now, how do we understand this text? This doesn't mean, Aisha didn't mean that women should not learn and come to the house of Allah and benefit. But what she meant is that the fitna that came about after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that was something forbidden by him, something he didn't desire for his ummah. This doesn't mean that women should not come to the house of Allah. All of the women should come and learn and benefit from knowledge. But what it means is that we have to avoid the pathways towards evil. We have to stay away from the pathways that lead to fitna. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, a few more words of advice from the Messenger of Allah before I finish. The Prophet ﷺ, he once said to Ibn Umar, who was going out one of the doors of the masjid, he said, "I wish that you left this door for the women so they could leave in privacy." So Ibn Umar, he says, "By Allah, I never use that door again for the rest of my life." You see his piety. He said, "I never went through that door again." He wanted to obey the command of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, we have the narration in Abu Dawood that the Messenger of Allah, he once came out of the masjid and he saw men and women intermingling on the road. And he said to the women, "Perhaps you should wait, let the men go so that you do not crowd one another on the pathway." Again, giving women the honor not to crowd them, but let them have the decency to walk and be safe from fitna. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once said about the when the salah was over, he told the men, "Wait a moment, let the women go, let the women leave in privacy." And then he allowed the men to leave. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a serious affair. Our decency, our restraining our desires from what is disobedient to Allah, this is how we purify ourselves. This is how we will elevate in rank with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is how we will enter into the pleasure of Allah. This is something dangerous. This is something serious. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, obey Allah, fear Allah Azza wa Jal, so that on the Day of Judgment, you will be raised up in a good state. So that Allah will purify you on the Day of Judgment. Allah will say, "Salamun alaykum, tibtum." Peace be upon you, you have done good. Fadkhuluha khalideen. Enter into my paradise. Enter into the Jannah, living there forever. May Allah bless you and me, and with the Quran al-Kareem, أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ إِسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam Have the taqwa of Allah In secret and in open In secret when at home and nobody's watching Have the taqwa of Allah When in public Fear Allah Azza wa Jal My beloved brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam Whenever Islam closes the doorway to the shahwa, to the evil, when it is done in an evil way, it opened a permissible means to fulfill one's desire, and that is through marriage. If we think about the shahwa, the desire that a man has or a woman has, the Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged marriage. He said, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O young men, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a, فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ O young men, and the scholars say this includes women, get married if you can. Marriage is a permissible means to fulfill the natural desire that Allah has placed within the human being. This is the balanced nature of Islam. We are not called to restrain all of our desires, but we're called to channel them in ways that are beneficial for us as individuals and for the society as a whole. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the righteous wife, she is the most noble blessing in this world. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the best of the blessings of this world is a righteous wife, a noble wife, a righteous woman. And in fact, we look at our noble history and we see the elevated status that women had in Islam. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great muhaddith, his wife, Uns, She was a scholar of hadith, and he used to teach her the hadith. And once he was busy writing one of his books, and as you know, he has the Fath al-Bari and many of the noble books. So his students came, and he told his wife once to teach his students in his presence. He said, narrate to them the hadith. And Imam al-Sakhawi, he mentions that one of my teachers was Uns, the wife of Ibn Hajar. So the women in Islam, they have an important role to educate and to teach our children and to teach others and to learn and to be righteous. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, let us guard our chastity and our dignity in this society where decency is something that is shunned and looked away from. May Allah help us to obey Him, to fulfill our obedience to Him. May Allah help us to purify our souls and be in obedience to Him in all times, in all places. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارضي عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ربنا حبلنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم أصلح أمورنا كلها ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأحسن ختامنا وختام المسلمين أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله عباد الله أذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا وأقيم الصلاة
رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. There's a brother, his father passed away, Brother Haris Urbulu, he's from Turkey. Inshallah, please keep him in your du'as, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين الله أكبر سميع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله